Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you're listening today. We're going to talk about what it means to impart a blessing to someone. And some of you know this. Several years ago, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I was struggling with some just worry and anxiety and insomnia. And I thought, I bet I'm not the only person to struggle this way. So I wrote a blessing on my Facebook page. You know, may you know as you put your head on the pillow tonight that you're not under your circumstances, you're under the shadow of his wing. And I kind of just prayed a blessing prayer for those who are struggling the way I was. Well, a bunch of people shared it. And so I thought, oh, maybe I should do that again. I did that several nights in a row, about 4 nights in a row. Well, the fifth night, I didn't really have anything more to share, so I didn't. And I got emails and private Facebook messages from people saying, hello, I'm ready to be tucked in for the night. Where are you? And that all these years later now, I'm posting a blessing morning and evening, just, coming out of my own private walk with the Lord, things that I struggle with, just hoping that I can encourage you. And a million people see those every week. And it just goes to show you how desperately we need a word of encouragement. We need someone, if you know, Facebook is sort of virtual blessing, but really to look us in the eye, grab us by the shoulders, to call the life of God out of us. And this is why I'm so excited to talk to Dr. John Trent today. He's written a book titled 30 Ways a Wife Can Bless Her Husband. I don't even know if we know the influence, the power of our influence that we have on our spouse. We'll get him on in just a moment. I want you to know that in second hour, Paul Herkman will join me in studio to talk about reaping a harvest after a long season of faithfulness. You know how Scripture implores us not to grow weary in doing good, because at the right time in due time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. So often we give up before the breakthrough comes. Paul's going to join us to unpack that passage and talk about what it means to have the moral fortitude to keep going, one foot in front of the other. I really believe you're going to be encouraged greatly both hours today, so I hope you can listen to both hours. My first hour guest, Dr. John Trent, writes this: anytime you choose to bless your spouse or children, you are sowing seeds that enrich your home and relationships. When we reach out to bless others, it soon becomes a habit. We give not out of expectation of having our own needs met, but in meeting the needs of others. This selflessness becomes contagious, and it defies the toxic culture that places a high value on self-fulfillment. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. John Trent serves as the Gary Chapman Chair of Marriage and Family Ministry and Therapy at Moody Theological Seminary. He also serves as president and founder of StrongFamilies.com and the Center for Strong Families. He and his wife, Cindy, have 2 grown daughters. You can find his influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dr. Trent, welcome back to the program. Good to have you today.
Well, thanks, and gosh, I loved both the opening song. We just play that just to dance around.
Come on,
and then just that amazing story of, you know, you start off just blessing people at night and in the morning, and all of a sudden, you know, they're going, "Wait a minute, you can't stop. Why are you stopped?"
Isn't that amazing? You know, I mean, go ahead, please go ahead.
No, it's just so cool, because amazingly I talked to a lady today who is from the Philippines, and guess what her mom and dad would do every day is when she came home for school, for example, the first thing that she was supposed to do, and they'd ask her this, is ask for a blessing, and they would bless her. And then before she left to go out and play or do whatever else, they would pray a blessing over her. And so it was like coming in the door or going out the door, she was going to get a blessing. And of course, you know, people don't do that so much anymore. But just look at the response that you've gotten on your Facebook page. That's awesome.
Well, thank you so much. You are a natural encourager. I can tell it's in your DNA, mister. I love that so very much. And you are the first person to mention dancing to the song, because I love to bop around to good music. And I'm always telling people, man, if this doesn't make you want to jump around. But, hey, you're the first person that's reciprocated and said we should be jumping around to that song. Appreciate that so much. So before we get into the content of your great book, we always like to start our conversations talking scripture. In your passage, you actually chose two passages that so tie into the conversation. Deuteronomy 30:19. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. And then Psalm 15, you can talk about that one too. Who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to his neighbor, casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord. And it goes on and on. But talk about both of those passages, if you would.
Wow. We could take the whole time to just talk about those two. But real quickly, Psalm 15, guess what? In 1939, now that was a really challenging time for the United States. I wasn't around then, and a lot of us listening weren't, but Franklin Roosevelt was the president, and he had just come out of church and heard a message on Psalm 15. And so this is right at the end of the Depression and just before we plunged into World War II. So just all this emotional, all these things going out around the country and challenges and around the world. And he had just come out of the church, and a reporter yelled at him and said, you know, Mr. President, give us a word for our country. And he said, all right, I'll give you a word for our country to print. He goes, I would ask that every paper in the United States put the text of Psalm 15 on their front page tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Most of them did, including, listen to this, the New York Times.
Wow.
And here's how it ends. You said, you know, who can live, who can hang out with you, Lord? You know, who can dwell on your holy mountain? And then that's how it starts. And then it tells you 10 things to do. Be this kind of person. But then it ends with, and he who does these things will never be shaken. Wow. I mean, in this day and age where so much is tossed and turned, like that cruise ship that just went through 100-mile-an-hour winds. I don't know if you read about that, but that would have been a real fun cruise to be on. But as everything is being tossed and turned, you know, again, it's our life in Christ that really helps us not to be shaken.
Such good word. And there's so much in these passages, Dr. Trent, that so connect with, you know, your message that this implies a choice on our part, a choice of perspective, a choice of the words that we speak. I mean, you've been talking on the issue of blessing for so many years. We'd love to just talk about how God just grabbed hold of your heart all those years ago and spoke to you about the power and the influence that we actually have on those around us.
Well, that's that Deuteronomy 30 passage, you know, where Almighty God, you know, says, I call heaven and earth to witness. Now, boy, that's, you know, talk about an audience, you know, that it's almost like just picture everything just stand still. And here's that choice before you, life or death, the blessing. It's singular, actually, in Hebrew. In the NIV and several translations, it says blessings, but it's actually blessing. So it's life or death, the blessing or the curse. Well, what does that mean? Well, so the Lord says, first of all, hey, choose life. Choose life. And life, of course, is in Him. He's the one that created it, that sustains us. And then in Jesus, man, when we get His life, who is the life, when we get His life inside us, well, then the word life literally means movement. And I can't even tell you how many times in counseling that is exactly what I'm laying before couples that I work with is, hey, are you stepping towards each other or stepping away? So that's one of the first questions I'll ask. And, you know, picture these couples that just initially, you know, they had Christ's life within them and they were they're, you know, stepping towards each other, have no trouble doing that, and then life gets tough and they start stepping away physically from each other or emotionally from each other, and they see the relationship start dying inside. And of course, the great news is that, you know, the Lord never bails on us. You know, he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So even if we step away, well, he never does. And so his life can get us back in the battle and moving towards him, towards each other. And then blessing or curse, blessing means to add. Because you're so valuable, I'm going to add to your life. So we'll talk a lot about that today. How do you step towards someone? Well, you bless them. Well, how do you do that? Well, you add to their life. Well, how do you do that? Well, lots of small ways. We'll talk about that. That scripture talks about, and then curse means to subtract. So you don't want death or curse. You want life and blessing, and that's what we get to talk about today.
So good. Thanks for unpacking that for us. You know, would you say, just in your practice and all the people that you've counseled, couples you've counseled, that most often marriages end not from the big blows, but from, you know, death by a thousand cuts, where it's just a thousand things either left undone or those curses, when we're really supposed to be mending, wounding, building each other up? It's just a thousand of these little offenses that we bleed to death from. Would you say that's something you've observed?
Oh, no, absolutely. You know, we kind of call it the two-degree difference. You know, now I know you're a really good driver.
Yes, I am.
and you have to be, because where you live with snow and ice, mm-hmm. and being able to drive well, and, it's just, you know, so, but you know why you're a great driver? One reason why is because you keep the car between the lines, right? Okay. I mean, like, drive home today, and besides the one big left turn that you have to make, if you keep the car between the lines, well, how do you keep the car between the lines? Well, you don't make 10-degree, 15, 20-degree changes of the steering wheel trying to drive straight. If you do that, then the DUI task force picks you up, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way that you get safely to your destination is you make lots of 2-degree changes of the steering wheel. And guess what the word righteousness literally means in Greek? It means the language of the New Testament. It means to stay between the lines. And so what gets us home safely in our relationships and life is to stay between the lines, do those small things. But for a lot of couple, they just take their hands off the wheel and they start drifting. And I shouldn't ask you this probably, but have you ever fallen asleep at the wheel?
I actually have not, because I'm such a sissy at night that I don't drive if I'm exhausted.
Okay. Well, in college, I was driving home. I went to TCU, home of the Mighty Frogs, and was driving home to Arizona, and I fell outside of Socorro, New Mexico, right at dawn, and I guess that's when a lot of people fall asleep. I was in the right lane when I went to sleep. Now, today on I-10, there's a divider in the middle, but there was no divider back then. And I went across six lanes of traffic. Thank the Lord nobody else was out at the morning. Now, does that wake you up when you're going across six lanes? No, I was sleeping very comfortably.
Oh, my goodness.
Going across. But what wakes you up is when your tires hit the far side of the road, and all of a sudden a terrible sound, and I open my eyes, and I realize I'm in huge trouble.
My.
And so what's your instinct, you know? It's to do so. You're in big trouble. I needed something big, so I yanked the steering wheel 180 degrees. And of course, that's what flips. You know, it didn't flip, but that's where I rolled my car multiple times. But that's exactly what I see in the couples that I work with so much. Is they don't start off six lanes over in the ditch. They just take their hand off the wheel and just gently, 2 degrees at a time. That all of a sudden they wake up and. And then they think, oh, I got to do, we're going on a Christian cruise. That'll solve everything, you know. Or they're going to do one big thing. And again, he who is faithful in a little. So we'll talk about blessing today because, I mean, even if you're, you know, heading in the wrong direction, the idea is to slow down and then get back and start doing those small things that can begin to change everything.
Good analogy. And sometimes we interpret overcorrection, or we consider our overcorrection leaving the marriage. Like, I just have to fix it. I'm with the wrong person. But there's so much that we can do. It's within our power to build up our spouses, build up our marriage. Talking to Dr. John Trent today. Title of his book, 30 Ways a Wife Can Bless Her Husband. When we come back, John will tell the amazing story of when he was newly married, and he was up to him to handle his wife's 6 years of retirement, to put it in account. Wait till you hear what happened, but wait till you hear how she responded. Absolutely amazing story. More when we come back. If you're walking through a dry season of marriage, I challenge you to write down some of the things that you love about your spouse. And I actually encourage you to pray that list, to start thanking God. Thank you, Lord, that they go to work every day. Thank you, God, for their faithfulness. And then tell your spouse the things you appreciate as well. I'm talking to Dr. John Trent today. Title of one of his many books, the one we're talking about today, is 30 Ways a Wife Can Bless Her Husband. And sometimes, John, you know, it's just this fun. You actually give some really fun ideas to just be a blessing. But there's times it's a sacrificial kind of blessing, I think, where you have to dig deep. And what your wife did, I mean, I'm reading this story in my office, and my intestines were in knots when I'm listening to you as a new husband going, you know, taking her 6 years of retirement. And, well, take that story from there and tell us what happened.
Well, yes, the sad part is, you know, I was, you know, Cindy is a tremendous organizer and real detailed. I tend to be a little bit more on the optimistic side. And so when we got married, she handed me a check. Remember when you actually had to go to a bank, you know, and hand them a check and stuff. So this was back in that day before you could just take a picture of it on your phone and it would deposit. And so she hands me her teacher retirement check. We'd just gotten married. She'd been a teacher for 6 years and had saved all this money dutifully and wanted me to go invest it. And I, as it was, I had met a guy at church, just, you know, how the pastor has you stand up and meet somebody next to you. And hey, you know, we started talking and, hey, what do you do? And, oh, I'm a financial planner. And I go, you're kidding. I need to get your card. And so that was as much we got to talk. I got his card. And so I called him. And he'd only been a financial planner about a month, but he'd been an FBI agent for years. So, I mean, he worked for the government. How trustworthy could it be, right? And so long story short is I called him up and there's a thing a long time ago called limited gas and oil partnerships. And he goes, do you want to triple our money? And I go, absolutely. And I lost every cent of it in 4 months.
Mm. And I don't even ask you to tell that story to embarrass you, because you told it in the book. But what I was so amazed by was your wife, because she was a new wife at this time. And you're sitting down apologizing to her. Tell us how she responded to you.
Well, and that's the key, because, I mean, that's not a good thing. You know what I mean? I mean, in most cases, you'd think, well, you might get back in the house in a couple of days or something, at least off the couch. But I'll never forget, I just felt so miserable. And you know, I hadn't really prayed about it, what we should do with the money. I hadn't, you know, I just was crestfallen. And I remember we're at this crummy kitchen table that we had, and she reaches over and just takes my hand and says, you know what, I guarantee you that's the last time you'll do that, and we'll make some great decisions, you know, going forward. And it was with so much grace, so much, you know, I already felt miserable. She didn't have to just beat me to death, you know, for something that I already felt terrible about. But I mean to tell you, it was such a unleashing and freeing thing to know, you know what, I could even blow it that bad and have somebody that loved me enough to say, hey, I love you. This, you know, we're going to make some great decisions and you're going to make some great decisions. Well, that's what a lot of the blessing does. It really frees you. It unleashes you even in tough times, not just the easy times, like you said, but even in the tough times to really move forward. And that's something I'm so grateful. I've got a wife that's whose birthday is today.
Wow.
And so, unfortunately, she's at school. She couldn't get off school as a teacher. But tonight I'll take her out to dinner and I'll remind her of that story and thank her again for the fact the Lord has allowed us together to make a lot of great decisions after that pretty crummy one.
Wow. You know, and tell her that there's thousands of women who are standing up and applauding, and even husbands, because I'm sure husbands are listening going, man, I'd give anything for my wife to respond to my blow-ups that way. But one thing you mentioned in that story is that she actually, you know, I mean, my paraphrase, but called the leader out of you. So not only did she not berate you, but she sort of spoke destiny and, you know, future leadership over you by the way she actually built you up when you were feeling so low.
Right, and that's part of what the blessing does. When you bless someone in Scripture, you pictured a special future for them. And that's so important because, you know, our kids come in every day. They're beat down by what they've heard. Our spouse comes in and they're going to hear things that are so negative. And, you know, I think it's just an opportunity. Have you ever seen on TV the TV show called The Voice?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, a lot of people that are listening, you know, might not have seen it, but if you ever have, even once, picture this. Here's a guy or a gal, and they're singing their heart out, except the judges can't see them. They're all turned around. They're in these big chairs, but there's a button in front of the judges, okay? And as they're singing their heart out, there are sometimes, because I have a friend whose daughter, nobody hit the button.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately. But she got on, but no one hit the button. Well, but what happens is, you know, hopefully one of those judges will hit the button, the chair turns around, and do you know what's on the bottom of the chair, of all those chairs in The Voice? It lights up these words that say, I want you. You know, I choose you is really what it's saying. And I think that's, again, what the blessing does. It says, you know what? Okay, you know, that wasn't a good thing, losing 6 years of teacher retirement. But I want you to know, instead of turning away, I'm going to turn towards you. And I really believe God can do something with us and through us and with you in the future. Now, you know, again, that was just a miraculous thing. There's been other times where Cindy has rightfully been, I'm not saying she does everything perfectly. Nobody does. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
There's times I haven't, you know, spoken well. But I'm telling you, it is the choice we make to hit that button, to turn towards that person. And then, you know, that was really her choice. But that's so much like the Lord, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he turned, while we were sinners, he loves us. He hits the button and turns around and does for us what we can't do for ourselves. And
yeah.
So that's what's fun to get to talk about is hey, we can make a choice to love someone, even if they're imperfect.
Bless and not curse. Speak life, not death. When we come back, we're going to talk about what a blessing actually is and some tangible ways we as wives can be a blessing to our husband. Talking to Dr. John Trent, more with him when we return. Talking to Dr. John Trent today. Title of his book is 30 Ways a Wife Can Bless Her Husband. I have to read this quote he references from C.S. Lewis. Maybe you need to hear this today. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him. Good and evil both increase at compound interest. Listen to that. Good and evil both increase at compound interest. That is why the little decisions you and I make every day are of such infinite importance. The smallest good act today is the capture of a strategic point from which a few months later you may be able to go on to victories you never dreamed of. An apparently trivial indulgence in lust or anger today is the loss of a ridge or a railway line or bridgehead from which the enemy may launch an attack otherwise impossible. Isn't that powerful? So, Dr. Trent, before we get into some of these tangibles, tell us what a blessing actually is. I'll read this little list and you can just sort of sum it up. Seeing the potential in someone, assigning great value to that person, reaching out with meaningful touch, speaking words of blessing over them, demonstrating an active commitment to that person. So as best you can, sum it up for us before we get into some tangible ways to do this.
Well, again, just trying to give people kind of a word picture that a lot of them have seen. When you bless someone, you step towards them. That's that idea of life. And you choose to add. And it's literally one of the pictures in Scripture of what it means to bless, to honor, is to add a coin to a scale. And so, just picture, hey, I have a choice today. I can either step away from my spouse or I can step towards them. I can add to their life. Or I can subtract. That's what curse means. And so, when we bless them, it's saying, you know what? I'm going to hit the button. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to step towards them. And then C.S. Lewis, what you just mentioned, really talked about how it's the small things that determine so much of where our relationship is going to go and where it's going to go. So that's really what will encourage people today. They're going to go, well, that's such a small deal. Well, it is. It's not, fly your spouse to San Diego for breakfast on the beach in California. Now, that'd be great, but how often is that going to happen, But maybe today when you get home, you can step towards your spouse and bless them by just asking them a few questions about how their day went. So those are the kinds of things that we'll talk about, the small things that can begin to change everything.
Oh, so, so good. We've had Shanti Feldhahn on the show before, and she talks about, of course, we all need to be loved, but men, if they had to choose between feeling competent and feeling loved, they would prefer to feel competent. And you said that a husband who receives the blessings from his wife can be free to pursue God's best in every area of his life. So talk about that, just the wife's tangible power of influence, for good or for not, in her marriage.
Well, yeah, isn't that funny that what really, unleashes somebody to really, really run, to really, really get moving, let me give you a quick example. I'll never forget, my mom was a rheumatoid arthritic, and she was also one of the world's best blessers, and she would take us to this public pool. Nobody had a pool back then of their own, not where we lived, because no money, single-parent home. So we'd go to this small public pool called Perry Park, and here's my mom, and she even then was in a walker. With a really bad arthritis. So she could never get in the pool because back then there were no handicapped accessible pools. So she couldn't get in the water, but she would sit on the side and throw quarters in for my twin brother, my older brother, and I. And we'd dive down to the bottom to get the quarter and come, how you push off the bottom and just break out of the water. And every time she did, she looked at us. Just that look said, that's unbelievable. And here we were just picking quarters off the floor of the pool. And yet that's so often what a man, will do is they're saying, hey, I want to break free. I want to move forward. And we are, maybe around us it's saying you can't do it or whatever. But, man, it says in Scripture, for example, how small is this? It says, bright eyes makes the heart glad in Proverbs. And so just try that. Go home tonight when your spouse comes in. Just brighten your eyes. Now, again, you might think that's a little weird, but it is so the way you look at someone very often can just determine so much what they think about themselves and what they can do. So many small things, but It really can make a big difference.
Excellent. And that really goes with this first blessing. These are 30 ways to bless your husband. Love the little things blessing. I'm going to read a few more, and you can pick a couple if you have favorites here, Dr. Trent. Love note blessing, hobby blessing, keep dreaming blessing, men time blessing. I love that. Stock your fridge blessing, homemade or store-bought blessing, least favorite chore blessing, goodnight kiss blessing, habits of touch blessing, prayer blessing. Take a few of those and maybe give some examples of what you've seen done and what Cindy's done for you.
Oh, yeah. Now, for example, have you ever said, you know, to your spouse, have you ever said, hey, I'll pray for you? Or maybe they ask you to pray for something, you always go, what? Oh, hey, I'll pray for you. Well, the problem with that sometimes is we get busy, you know. I mean, and so, you know, just the other day, you know, Cindy, she's a teacher, and the principal was coming in for her big evaluation. Once in the fall and once in the spring, the principal comes in, and that's a big deal if you're a teacher, right? You know, and so I asked her. I said, "Well, hey, what's your?" You know, so she said, "Hey, pray for me on this." And I thought, "Okay, I'll pray." And then it just dawned on me, you know what? Okay, and I said, "Wait a minute, what time?" Now I really learned this from Cindy, so she's the one that taught me this. Because this is what she would do. She'd always ask me, well, what, oh, you know, I'd say, well, hey, could you pray about this? And she'd go, okay, well, what time's your meeting? I go, what time are you meeting with the principal? And she goes, 11 o'clock. So I took out my phone. Almost everybody's phone has a stopwatch or an alarm on it. Mm-hmm. And I said, 11 o'clock. And of course, sure enough, 11 o'clock comes and my phone starts, you know, ringing, the alarm thing. And I'm thinking, what in the world, 11 o'clock. And then all of a sudden I realized Cindy's having her meeting. And so how small is that? But I mean, it said to Cindy, as I set my alarm clock, and it says to me, when she does that for me, it says, you know what? Hey, I see you. I know this is important to you. And I'm not just going to tell you. That's kind of genuine commitment. I'm going to really do this. So just set your, don't just, so tell them you'll pray for them, but then set your watch and watch how much more you pray for them when you do that.
Excellent. And I know one of these is a text blessing and how important those are. My hubby and I do that all the time. And I got to tell you, I don't know that this is a blessing, but I still laugh about it. But one day he grabbed hold of my phone without me knowing, changed the ring for when he calls to be sound like a big dog barking. And I was sitting, I was sitting in a meeting, and the dog starts to bark, and the man I'm meeting with says, is that your phone? I'm like, no. And he's like, no, I'm sure that your purse is barking. And I'm like, no, it's that I don't have a ring like that. And he leaned over his desk. It's coming from your purse. And I see it's my husband. And then he follows up with a text, when the big dog calls, you got to answer. But anyway, we still laugh about that
one.
That's
so great.
Oh, great. Yes, love it. Okay, so choice picture blessing. What's that one?
Here's a fun thing to do, because, you know, people this day and age, it's not real almost for this younger generation unless they're in the picture, you know, you know, with all the selfies and all this stuff like that, you know. But go back and was your wedding dress, was it like your mom's wedding dress, or was it really meaningful, or they're all meaningful, but do you know what I mean? For a lot of us, well, Cindy, you know, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway since she's not here.
Happy birthday, Cindy.
But anyway, but she bought it from a friend whose wedding didn't go through. Isn't that terrible? But anyway, we had no money, and she bought this dress for $200 from a friend, I went to the tuxedo shop and looked at everything. I didn't have enough money to get anything. I said to the guy, I go, look, you got to have something in the back you're getting ready to throw out or something. I mean, there's got to be something cheaper. And he goes, well, and he comes back, and there are these gray, horrible, light gray, big lapel. I go, I'll take them. And I had, like, groom, you know, and we all were in this hotel. Well, what Cindy will do is take a picture of that, me with big hair and a dead tooth, and her in her $200 friend's dress for the wedding, and send that picture around today. Go back and so it's like, you know, choose a picture from somewhere in the past where you've been. Doesn't have to be your wedding picture, but Valentine's Day, that's a good one, you know. And post that. And it's just really a fun thing to do where you all of a sudden a picture shows up that you haven't seen in years, and yet it brings you right back to that place where, wow, thank you so much, Lord, that you've given me this person.
Oh, that's kind of fun. Okay, the stock your fridge blessing. Is this something you do as a surprise? You find out what their, or you should know what their favorite stuff is, but just figure out a time to just stock the fridge with some of their favorites?
Well, yeah, you know, again, what we're trying to get people to do is, you know, where do they, you know, there's several places they, you know, they always end up. One of them is, you know, putting a note, you know, right where they stand in front of the mirror, because they're gonna see it, you know. Another one is where in the refrigerator, you know, a lot of guys, that's where we're headed, you know. After we shave, that's the only time we ever look in the mirror usually. But now we head to the refrigerator. And what Cindy would do is not only just kind of stock maybe one cool thing or one kind of unexpected thing in there, which is kind of fun. But a lot of times she'll put a note in the refrigerator on the turkey that I'm going to get. And you just can't miss it. And it's just a way of her saying thank you for something or even just something dumb like, I really like your hair. When, you know, I got a haircut just recently, and the difference between a good haircut and a bad haircut to a guy is like 2 weeks. You know what I mean? And this was a bad haircut. I mean, this is really bad. But the normal guy that I go to that doesn't speak English, he's from Russia, and I just sit down and I don't ask questions. I'm afraid of him, and he just sits down and cuts my hair, but he's pretty good. But he wasn't there, and this other guy did it, and oh my gosh, it just looked terrible. And so I remember, you know, again, so Cindy on the turkey there, there was a little note, and she goes, gosh, I really like your hair.
Aww.
And, you know, small things. I mean, that sounds dumb, but it's a way of stepping towards someone with your words by seeing them, knowing what's going on in their heart and life. And it's just so important to do those small things.
Awesome. We're pausing right here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Keep Dreaming blessing. Now, one of the things Dr. Trent said before the show is if you get on the air, you'll get a copy of 30 Ways a Wife Can Bless Her Husband. So maybe you can call in with a question for Dr. Trent. Otherwise, my question for you is, what's a way that you've recently blessed your spouse? Guys or gals, I want to hear from you. 877-933-2484. You know, this book would be a great Valentine's Day gift for somebody. 877-93-FAITH. You can email me, Susie, at myfaithradio.com. More with Dr. John Trent when we return. If you're married, I really want to challenge you to just move towards your spouse. Look in their eyes, say something kind, pray for them. Remember the things you'll love about them. As Dr. John Trent said at the beginning of the show today, so often marriages fail because we just let go of the wheel, and then we overcorrect when we're about to go into the ditch. And sometimes that overcorrection is just as bad as going into the ditch. And it's these little corrections every once in a while and along the way, the daily intention of loving your spouse that can make all the difference. I'm talking to Dr. John Trent today. The title of his book is 30 Ways a Wife Can Bless Her Husband. I would love to have you speak a little bit more about the Keep Dreaming blessing.
Well, and just before I do, because that's such a great summary, that's one thing that you're awesome at, is just kind of bringing everything back to where we are and then moving forward. But just, you know, one thing I want to say to these, not just ladies, but the guys listening too, is that actions dictate feelings, not the reverse. There is so often where, you know, somebody might listen and they'll go, well, yeah, you don't know that person, or well, I just don't feel like doing that. I've tried, and they don't really care. Well, you know, again, it is actions, you know, it's the small things that really do begin to grow at compound interest, like Lewis said, you know. So just, you know, it's important to just move towards someone, even if you're for a godly person, that I'm telling you, the stronger person always initiates the peace. Meaning, if you just sit and wait forever, you know, maybe nobody will move, but the stronger person initiates the peace. So having said that, one way to bless them is that dream blessings. Now, did your husband ever have any dreams that may or may not have come true, things he might want to do?
Yes, he actually did. Mm-hmm. We've talked about those, and then every anniversary we dream together about what impossible next thing God would want us to do together. So
And those are, you know, for some times those are big dreams, you know. But with Cindy and I, Cindy in some ways is, I don't know if you ever saw any of the movies or read the books of The Lord of the Rings with the hobbits, but, you know, hobbits have these little homes in the Shire, and they don't like to leave. The average hobbit doesn't like to leave the house. Well, that's Cindy. You know, she just loves her home, and if we never really went anywhere, so I'm usually the one that's saying, okay, why don't we go here? And so sometimes what Cindy will do, and it really encourages me, is I know she'll do something. Hey, let's dream about doing something. Well, she'll actually make sure that it happens, to go somewhere, to do something. Recently, we just started going to this workout place called Orange Theory. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but it's way too hard of a it's just a ridiculously hard workout. And there's nobody our age. You've ever gone to a place, you know, where you're like, they're all these younger people, but here's Cindy and I just, you know, just barely making it through. And we always look at each other and go, why did we do that? But it's just been phenomenal. It brings me back to, I was an athlete in college and high school. And I mean, but you know, that was something we had dreamed about doing, was let's do something together, to exercise together. And here's Cindy on the treadmill next to me, or over in the weight room thing, doing stuff. And I mean, to tell you, how can you, it's so hard to not love somebody that steps into your dreams and says, hey, you know what, this is my total favorite thing to do, but we're doing it. We're living the dream. We're exercising together. So it's been really fun.
That is so great. I got to share this. Bruce, one of our listeners, he says his wife of 30 years has loved him in such a godly way as to inspire these words from my heart for her birthday. Thought you might enjoy them. Enjoying the program again today. So, Bruce, I hope you're okay with this. I'm going to read your poem on the air. He titles it, How You Love Me. I've noticed that you love me in a very special way, in forgiving all my failures, such a debt I cannot repay. In working for my welfare, you are giving me new hope. It's amazing that you love me when I feel like such a dope. I've noticed that you love me in so many things you do. The list goes on forever, but I'll just mention a few. In preparing loving meals, in tolerating pride, in waiting as I wander for me to find my guide. In the kindness you offer, in the thoughtful words you write, through the long, hard roads we journey, and in every restless night, in hearing every grievance that I share with some disgrace, in cleaning up my messes and in straightening up the place, in wanting to be near me when I don't deserve a friend, in listening to my stories, ever patient to the end. I've noticed that you love me in a very special way, in forgiving all my failures, such a debt I must repay. I've noticed that you love me, it surely stirs my soul. The love you give so freely truly serves to make me whole. I feel your love quite often, and no doubt I cause you pain, as I take it all for granted again and again and again. When I see how much you love me and the debt to you I owe, one thing I want to say to you and need for you to know, I've noticed how you love me year to year and day by day. In forgiving all my failures, I will try to love that way. Okay, I want to cry.
Wow.
Isn't that precious? Wow. Thank you, Bruce.
I can't write things like that, but I sure like hearing them, and that's awesome.
And that's the thing, is we all have different ways to share the way that we love. We can be really creative this way, but it's just the whole idea of, I got to find some way to say thank you, to bless you, to affirm you. I mean, it really is that, isn't it?
It is, and, you know, it's as small as, you know, when you maybe hug them before they leave, and count to three. I mean, you know, half the time, you know what it is, we're just so busy. that maybe we give them a peck on the cheek and we walk out, but just give them a hug for 3 seconds before you walk out. I'm telling you, 3 seconds doesn't seem like very long, but there's so many ways that we can just say, you know, Lord, with that note, with that prayer, with that encouragement, you know, with going out of my comfort zone and, you know, taking a walk around the block with them instead of just, you know, maybe they've asked 20 times and it's like, nah, you take the dogs and then go, but you go. Yeah, this time. And so just step towards them. It's so important.
So good. We just got a couple minutes here before we pray, so I'm going to ask you for just a couple more here. What is the forgiveness blessing? Explain that one to us.
Well, here's an interesting thing. Guess what the word, if you're a Greek major, I was a Greek major at Dallas Seminary because I got some bad advice, frankly. I was a new Christian, and I went to major in, New Testament. Doesn't that sound great? Mm. Well, I didn't know it meant Greek. And so I thought it was like, you're just going to read the New Testament, which you did. It just was in Greek. So, but it was a great, experience actually, and learning God's word in the original languages. But guess what word? What's the first word that you learn as when you're studying Greek? It's a verb, and it's called luo. And it is the only regular verb in Greek. That's why I think they have you start with luo, luais, all this stuff. Anyway, long story short is it's the word for forgiveness. And you know what it literally means, Susie? It means to untie the knot. And maybe that's something just here, toward the end that somebody needs to do is just get a little piece of rope, maybe 5 or 6 inches, and keep it around, like on your desk or somewhere. Just realize how easy it is to get tied up in knots. When we don't forgive someone, that's, but when we're forgiven, it frees us. The knots are untied. And when we forgive our spouse, it unties the knot. So that's really a blessing on someone is forgiving them. That doesn't mean that you explain away bad behavior or whatever, but you can't just stay tied up in knots and see that relationship grow.
Wow, I think that might have been a word in due season for somebody listening today. It's amazing how we can live with a low level of misery by just sort of disregarding our grudges and our unforgiveness, as if we sort of just drag it with us and we need to stop and deal with it. And what a difference. Last one I'm going to ask you about is the laughing blessing.
Well, that's, you'd think that's such an easy thing. The average 5-year-old at kindergarten laughs how many times an hour? And this is just, why are there statistics on things like this? But the average child, 5-year-old kid, will laugh 8 to 9 times an hour. They just find stuff that's funny, okay? For the average adult, they might laugh once or twice a day. And, what's interesting? I think heaven's going to be full of great joy and laughter in the presence of the Lord. Is fullness of joy. And there is going to be, I think, mirth and laughter when we get to be with the Lord. But you know what? I mean, just again, doing some things that are fun or goofy or going to a movie that's hard to find a movie that's, clean and good and still has some funny parts and everything else. But though, so get a movie that you already know is like that and watch it, and just laugh. Don't be afraid to laugh together. It's so therapeutic. And again, that's bringing laughter into your home can be a great way to bless your home.
Well, Dr. John Trent, I want to thank you for this time. Most times we have our guests pray, but we're running out of time here, and I've got my eye on the clock. So I'm going to pray a blessing on your ministry, if that's okay, just so I can watch
Absolutely.
My clock.
Thank you.
Yes, Father, thank you for Dr. John Trent and his dear wife. I pray that she has the best birthday night ever. I pray a blessing on the work of his hands and their hands. I pray, God, that you'd continue to open doors no man can close. I pray you would surprise Dr. Trent in the days ahead with the ways that you intend to use him, with just people that in his life that would speak to him, to say to him what you see in him, Father. And I just thank you for all that he's done for marriage, for the family, and for us as your children. In Jesus' name, amen. bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Do I still have you there?
Yeah.
There you are. Well, please come back and join us again, okay?
Oh, thanks. And thanks for that awesome. I was so just caught up in your prayer, and thank you so much. Lord bless you.
Looking forward to our next conversation. Well, coming up next for hour two, we're going to talk about and unpack that passage. It says, don't grow weary in doing good, for at the right time, if you don't give up, you will reap a harvest of blessing. Paul Herkman joins me next in studio. Don't go away. Hour two is up next.